On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our state's projected tax revenue has done a 180, going from grim estimates late last year to what the Legislative Fiscal Bureau labeled as unprecedented revenue growth this year. Wisconsin is expected to take in $4.4 billion more than previous tax collection estimates over a three-year period. How do you want the state to budget for this additional revenue? What do you want to convey to the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Writing Committee? It's 800-642-1234. Republican State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green is co-chair of Joint Finance. His district includes parts of six rural counties in the southwest corner of our state. Senator Markline, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. So after you saw the higher estimates for tax collections and other revenue, what did you think? Where did your mind go?
Well, I expected good news. I've been following our tax collections. Every month I follow exactly how much we're getting in income tax revenue, sales tax revenue, corporate tax collections, you know, cigarette tax and all those. I follow that very, very closely. The numbers have been coming in really, really well, you know, and so I wasn't, I wasn't totally surprised, I guess. I knew we were going to have some good news last week from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. I thought it might be a billion or two improvement. I wasn't expecting the $4.4 billion upper that the Fiscal Bureau shared with us. So, you know, I wasn't, I guess, in reaction to your question, you know, I certainly expected it to be up from what we heard in January.
What?
And again, you know, the economy out here is doing remarkably well.
What is your philosophy toward using this infusion of cash as our state balances its books? How would you use it?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm frugal. Whether in my personal life I'm frugal, whether I have any money in my wallet or not, and just because I have more money, you know, on a personal level, I don't spend more. So, and I think that same kind of philosophy is going to, you know, carry over to my public service role here too. So, just because we have all kinds of additional money, I don't believe that we're going to, you know, it doesn't change my philosophy, and I don't think our caucus's philosophy in terms of the spending level. So, you know, we certainly need to continue to invest in priorities, continue to make strategic investments. And I think from a priority standpoint, I think we were anticipating really, really good revenue numbers from the Fiscal Bureau. And I, you know, we were hopeful that we could do a tax cut. And I think this the news we heard last week will just reinforce our desire to do a tax cut when we meet later this week.
So a tax cut as you meet later this week. What are those strategic investments, though? What are those top line priorities? Can you be more specific?
Well, you know, again, we're going to be this extra money, $4.4 billion more that we are going to be collecting over the next 24 months here, you know, that came from our taxpayers. So, you know, I believe we should be returning a good, you know, some portion of that, maybe a good portion of that back to the taxpayers that are going to be paying it in the first place. You know, and as far as how that looks, we're still working out the details on that.
In May, you said you were taking Wisconsin's state budget process back to the basics. Your caucus stripped out hundreds of the governor's proposals. You know, is your committee seeing eye to eye as you build a new budget from scratch?
Oh, yes. I mean, we're every vote we've had, you know, between the Assembly and the Senate, we've have been united on that. Our budget, we've gone back to a base budget. So what we're doing is we are building on the budget that we are currently operating right now. That was the budget that was passed 2 years ago. It was the budget that the governor signed 2 years ago, and he supported 2 years ago. And so we're starting with that base level and then building from that. So I think the committee has adhere to that increase the funding and in all kinds of different areas so far in the budget.
Well, Democrats have countered, though, that the governor's budget is a product of what Wisconsinites want, that the governor has gone around the state in listening sessions and put in the budget what constituents want. Do you feel Republicans are in tune with what Wisconsinites are asking for?
Absolutely. You know, I've been out in the last several weeks. I had a number of dairy breakfasts this weekend, parades this weekend. I've been out a lot over the last number of months in my district, and I've got a rural area, and I'll tell you, the feedback I'm getting from the people that I meet, I talked to hundreds of people yesterday at a dairy breakfast and parade, and the feedback that I'm getting has been very, very supportive, very positive, keep going. I think the public expects a level of fiscal discipline, and I think we're bringing that to the table.
Yeah, so keep going on what in particular. Can you explain what you're hearing and then what you are applying in the budget writing process?
Well, let me start with transportation. Okay, last Tuesday, the Joint Finance Committee approved our transportation proposal. And, that affects a lot of our rural areas. Roads are a huge concern for us in my area. And the budget that we passed last week, the transportation budget that we passed last week in Joint Finance Committee, provides an incredible amount of money for our local roads. This is comparable to the 2 years ago, we had appropriated $90 million to a local road supplement program. The governor vetoed that down to $75 million. We're coming in this year at $100 million, which is they're happy about increasing general transportation aids. And we're doing all this with the lowest level of bonding in decades. And I've gone back to at least the 1990s, and it's the lowest level of bonding in decades. And the Wisconsin Towns Association, that represents all of our, townships in the state of Wisconsin, last week called this the best transportation budget they have ever seen.
You also cut mass transit in this budget by over $41 million. What are your thoughts there?
Well, our transit agencies have a huge amount of federal money that they've been allocated in several rounds of federal funding. We've been told that they could go 3 years plus without charging a fare and be okay. So, I would rather the money all spends the same. The federal money, state money spends the same. And I would rather have those transit agencies use the federal money they're sitting on, which is an incredible amount of federal money, use that money first before state taxpayers are contributing to that. And we did that cut that you referred to. We did in the first year of the biennium only, so that the second year of the biennium, the funding to the transit systems would be restored to their level. So their base would be preserved into the future.
We're talking with State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green, co-chair of the legislature's Joint Committee on Finance. We're discussing fiscal priorities as revenue estimates are unprecedented. You can join in 800-642-1234. Jane is with us from Suamico. Hi, Jane. What would you like to ask?
Who is responsible for paying attention to the federal requirements for state spending so we don't lose billions of dollars in federal monies?
Well, you're referring to, I believe, the maintenance of effort requirement that the federal programs, the CARES Act and all the ESSER funds have with them. And, I'm certainly aware of that concern. It's a concern we've had since we became aware of this months and months ago. So, and I said months ago that I believe the risk is manageable. We're aware of it. We're going to be We've been working closely with the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, on strategies to address that so that we don't put our federal funding at risk. So I'm confident we're going to be able to address this as we close out the budget here. We're certainly aware of it, and, it affects we're not going to put that kind of money at risk for the taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin.
So when you're looking at that, though, the budget currently spends less than 10% of what Evers had proposed on K-12 schools, falling $200 million short of what would be needed for Wisconsin to keep the federal funding from Biden's coronavirus relief bill, to keep $1.5 billion. What specifically will you do about education funding?
The budget is not done.
Is there anything more, though, you would like to add about that, where you would forecast education in your priorities for budgeting?
Well, the budget isn't done. And, we're going to be, by the end of this week, I think everybody will have a pretty clear picture as to the decisions we'll make this week. We're certainly aware of the maintenance of effort issue, and we're going to it's something that's, a priority for us. And it's something we're going to be dealing with here as we wrap up the budget here over the next several days.
Let's bring in Gary now in Ripon. Gary, hi, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. If we have a little extra money now, I think we should expand the size of the State Patrol or some other agency so that we can intercept people bringing marijuana in from Illinois and Michigan.
Gary, thanks. State Senator, what do you make of that?
Well, it's, I certainly, I listened to all suggestions. The State Patrol budget last week as part of the Department of Transportation budget. So we have addressed the State Patrol budget already. I don't know that we're going to be going back, revisiting that issue specifically. But, I wouldn't be surprised at all if a number of the ideas, the proposals that have been floated throughout the budget process that may not have been included in the budget process may come back as separate legislation and go through the committee process, and then ultimately would end up with the Joint Finance Committee again. But I anticipate that there's going to be a number of initiatives that we haven't included in the state budget that we will be dealing with on a standalone basis.
And that might be, using this one-time surplus money on one-time projects is what I might be hearing you say here. These one-time projects for maybe, road repairs or broadband expansion or something else. Could that be the case?
Well, I think there's a lot of great ideas that have been floated in during the budget process. We heard that as we did public hearings around the state. We've discussed that. I hear that, in my district. And so, I think a number of these new initiatives, I think you may see them, resurrected in the form of new legislation or separate legislation down the road.
We're talking with State Senator Howard Markline, who's co-chair of the legislature's Budget Writing Committee. What do you want to ask him? Would you prefer that lawmakers make investments in one-time projects or cut taxes in coming years? How much do you think the state should be giving cities to spend on transportation issues? Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing how to craft the biennial budget as the Joint Finance Committee is expected to wrap up its work on the two-year spending plan this week. They're informed by the news of the $4.4 billion general tax collection estimate surplus from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Do you want to see the massive surplus put toward tax cuts, put toward education funding, broadband, paying down state debt, something else? Is a combination of things. 800-642-1234. We have Republican State Senator Howard Markline on the line, chairs the legislature's budget writing committee with us for about 9 more minutes. State Senator, you have voted in favor of ending enhanced unemployment benefits immediately. They're scheduled to expire in September. The bill passed the State Senate without debate and now goes before Governor Evers. Why do you think he should sign it?
Well, I told you earlier, Kate, I've been out and about a lot over the last number of weeks, and that is the number one issue that I hear consistently from every area of my district, including, you know, the dairy breakfast yesterday and that sort of thing. So it's a huge concern, and it's not just a concern for employers, and employers include, and I've heard from the Department of Natural Resources, state parks. They support my, you know, people supporting my bill because they can't get people to work the state parks. I've heard from nonprofits, the tribes not being able to open up the casinos, all related to lack of staffing. So this is an incredibly broad-based concern from in all sectors of our economy. And then the other thing that I heard from, the first feedback I heard from on this issue was from a union carpenter who said, it's about time. And I've heard from so many people that have been getting up, going to work every day for the last 12, 13 months. And, you know, and some of it may be resentment that they're watching their neighbor, you know, pack the tackle box and go fishing. And so...
So you believe that this extra $300 is causing people not to be out looking for jobs and taking jobs because they are getting more money on unemployment aid?
I can give you a story. I talked to somebody yesterday from the Quad Cities who came up to the dairy breakfast. And this person owns a Culver's down there and had no applications, basically. They were at a heck of a time even getting people to apply for jobs. When Governor Reynolds, Iowa Governor Reynolds, repealed the $300 per week supplement, the next day they got 22 job applications, okay? Now, that wasn't coincidental that they didn't have any applications for a long period of time. She repealed the $300 per week supplement, and the next day there's 22 job applications that show up at their Culver's. So, yes, I certainly believe that if we leave that $300 per week supplement as is, that government is competing against our employers, and that's not a good thing.
Critics would argue, though, that employers aren't paying a living wage. If they boosted their pay, they may be able to get more applications in the door.
So I can show you all over my district the ads. In fact, I've talked to a number of my radio stations around the district. Advertising revenue isn't bad, primarily due to the fact that there's so many companies in my district that are now advertising for employees. And they're starting at 16, 17, 18, 20 bucks an hour for unskilled labor. One business is offering a $2 per hour. They started, I think, 15, 16 bucks an hour for an unskilled entry-level position. But you get a $2 per hour bonus every week that you show up for work, okay? So if you show up, you know, on time for, you know, 2 weeks, you get an additional $2 per hour. So employers, you know, listen, you can't tell me that the jobs aren't there that aren't paying a good wage. The demand is so high right now, you're not in business anymore if you're paying minimum wage.
We're talking with State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green, co-chairs the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Let's bring in Dan now in Madison. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if we indeed have this great windfall of historical proportion, is there a possibility of giving a windfall to the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the form of a donation from the government, as it were, to the endowment. I mean, it's It's the university at Madison has been starved for the last few years because of an inability to raise tuition and because of a great decrease in federal funding. And it's gone down in the rankings over the 35 years I've been there, from being ranked number 7 amongst public universities to being ranked number 13. It could use it. It could use it. And I think UW-Madison is a great draw to the state for people and for industry. I mean, that's why you've got Silicon Valley where it is, because that's where Berkeley and Stanford are. That's why you've got all these technologically oriented companies in Boston, because that's where Harvard and MIT are.
Dan, thanks. Senator Markline.
Yes, you know, I support UW-Madison. I've got a daughter that went through UW undergrad and law school. I support the mission. They do great things. They're integral to the success of our state. And I also, you know, I support the research that they're doing. So, we have funded some new initiatives at UW-Madison. The nurse educator program, which I think is going to be a great program for UW. And also, with capital investments, we're making in total a $1.4 billion investment in the building commission. Of that, $629 million is going to the UW system. And of that, at UW-Madison, we're funding the replacement of the humanities building, which has been on that project has been on the block for many, many years. And so we got around to replacing that in this budget, which I think is a great initiative. And also we're funding the first step in the expansion of the engineering program. We're going to be doing $70 million of utility work, which needs to be done so that I think in the next budget we will likely be approving the new engineering department. But I certainly support UW-Madison and all the good work they do. And all in all, I think they're going to be pleased with the budget that we've crafted.
Senator Markline, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate. Have a great day.
You too. Senator Howard Markline, co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Earlier, we heard from Revenue Secretary Peter Barca. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.